In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Be enthroned in this place. Let your name be glorified. Let us see you revealed. Let us see you lifted. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24. Permit me for us to pray a little bit before we sit up. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We are going to pray and ask the Lord in this service and in this season to open our eyes. Amen. It is what is revealed to you that becomes your portion, that becomes your possession in the kingdom. We grow by the amount of revelation that we receive per time. And when you come into a meeting like this, God wants to open your eyes to behold truth from his word. And that's why we are going to pray in just a moment. Luke 24 verse 13 to 16. Luke 24, 13 to 16. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. It says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself, the person they were talking about, drew near and went with them. But verse 16 says that their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." Do you have other translations for us? "Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." It says that their eyes were held so that they did not recognize him. It says they were not able to recognize who he was. Now, this was Jesus whom they were talking about. And I was just meditating on this scripture this afternoon. And it's one of the reasons why when we come here, by the teaching of the word, God wants your eyes to be open. Because there are many things that make for your living a victorious life as a believer. And these things can only come to you by revelation. Revelation is when your spiritual senses are open to receive the things of God. The things of God are spiritual things. They are not carnal things. It's not mathematics that has a formula that you can follow. Even if it has its own, it has formulas, the formula is of its own. Because the Bible says that the natural man cannot understand spiritual things, for they are foolishness unto him. And we want to pray before we are seated tonight that God will open our eyes. The Bible says that Jesus himself drew near to them, but they could not recognize him. And so somebody may be in this service right in the presence of God, but if your spiritual senses are not open, you will not be able to perceive what God wants you to know in this season. And it will rob you of the victory that God wants you to, or God wants to be established in your life. Am I making sense to you? And that's why we are going to pray that the Lord will open our eyes in this season. The Lord told us that this year will be our year of victory. And God, in every week that we gather here, wants to open our eyes again and again to the things that make for our victory. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Second scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 17 is the story of Elisha and his servant when they were surrounded by the Syrian army. And the Bible says that the servant went out in the morning and saw the Syrian army surrounded the entire city, and he knew that that was trouble. But Elisha was not disturbed. Elisha was unperturbed. And the Bible says when he reported to Elisha, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Bible says God opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. What did he see? He didn't see what he was seeing with his physical eyes. The Bible says he saw the mountain full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. When God opens your eyes, you will see how defended you are against the enemy. When God opens your eyes, you will see how minimal certain issues are in your life that you have given attention to. Some of the things we call problems, some of the things we call mountains are limitations to us because of, permit me to say, a level of ignorance that is entertained. The Bible says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. And so when God opens your eyes today, you will see something that will make for your victory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, before we pray, let me share this with you. A few years ago, I had seen the Lord walk in my life. When I minister to people, I see them healed, see them delivered. When I get to pray for people, I see the Lord visit people. But one of the things I desired was, because I know that if people had to meet me where I was, there would still be many problems because some people would be staying far away. And so there were times when people would call me or send me messages and I was handicapped. I couldn't do for them miles away what I was doing for people around me. And then one day I saw a scripture, Psalms 107 verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And light hit me that day. That the same way I can stand before somebody and pray for that person and see result, I can send the same word. And from that day, even with text messages, you heard the testimonies. So you see that this thing that they are enjoying now came because revelation hit me. That's why we are going to pray that God will open our eyes. What you call your limitation now is a limitation because of a lack of a particular revelation that should accelerate you to another level. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He sent his word. There's one testimony that they did not read. I don't know. I'm not sure they read it because the person who was reading the testimony was reading it like he was reading a Bible story. Somebody sent me a text message this morning. I'd received a message during the week on Friday. Somebody's sick and hospital and all of that. And I just sent a simple word. And I've noticed that in the kingdom, bigger problems are handled with simple commands. When you begin to grow in revelation, bigger problems are handled with simple command. I mean, they were in the sea. The waves was tossing into the boat. They were about to sink. Is there anything bigger than that? When Jesus stood up, three words, peace, be still. That was the end. He didn't ask the wind, which demon is operating here? Is it demon from Ogoja or where? He just spoke. It is not in the word. It's in the revelation backing the word. If you want to rise higher to command results in this kingdom, you need revelation. You need your eyes to be open. Are you ready to pray? And from that time till tomorrow, a text message. In fact, now it has become worse. Emails. It will hit somebody in another nation, in another time zone, 5 hours away. And it comes exactly the time when the person recovers by revelation. I want you to pray and say, Lord, open my eyes and open my understanding. in the name of Jesus. Now you lift your voice and pray. That's why you have come. By the ministry of your word this afternoon, open my eyes. Open my understanding. Show me the things that make for my victory. Please lift your voice and pray. The entrance of his word giveth light. It giveth understanding. Even to the simple. Revelation that will take away every limitation. Revelation that will handle every obstruction. Revelation that will deal with every limitation. Lift your voice and pray. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing me. We have come, we open up, full of the ancient words. Open my eyes by the ministry of your word. By the ministry of your word. Koragalabashi Krisile Prokosia. We have come. Finally, I want you to pray for yourself and your family and come against every attack of the enemy that has been projected towards you in this season. Please listen. We prayed this at the worker service on Monday, and I know that you believe that God speaks in this place. Sometimes when you are moved or quickened by the Spirit to pray something, it's not because that's what's happening that time. Some prayers are meant to forestall future attacks. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are going to pray for yourself in this season. Every projected attack, whether sickness, whether death, whether affliction, losses of any kind against you or your family members, I want you to take authority against it and cancel it. Lift your voice and pray in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Pray. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. Ragabababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababababab By the authority in the name of Jesus, and on this mountain, let every attack of hell fall like a pack of cards. We forestall it, we cancel it. We cancel it. Yes, Lord. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Rabakasila ba, moroso brotele ma. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. So shall it be. Over your life, your family, and all that concerns you, in the name of Jesus Christ, shout a louder amen. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, tonight we thank you for your presence in this place. And now by the ministry of your word, we ask that you do a work of transformation in our heart. We ask that your power be released upon us, cause us to accelerate to higher levels and higher dimensions in the spirit. Let your grace rest upon us today. And let everyone that came here sick and afflicted be healed. And let every problem that came here tonight be solved by the workings of your mighty power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Welcome to Pneuma Tech. I trust the Lord for the utterance and the wisdom to communicate his word to us in simplicity, but with life and with power, in Jesus' name. And I'd like you to be ready tonight to receive what God has for us. Let me apologize again. In recent times, we've had to buy more fans, but it still looks like the fans are not enough. So please be patient with us. I don't know why the rain has not started falling by now. Amen. So we'll get more by next Sunday, so that the hall can be conducive. But I salute your patience. I know you love God and that's why you came. And I also thank God for those who are following from the comfort of their homes. God will bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Yeah, some of them may be in air condition, some may be in heat, worse than this. Amen. But you are still connected to us again. Amen. And what God is doing here will be extended around the world. In Jesus' name. The Lord gave us a word at the beginning of this year that this is our year of victory. And I tried to do justice to that the first two Sundays of the year. But just a little refresher so that we can be in sync with what God is doing or he's about to do today. Because trust me, what you will hear will bless you real good today. Victory means an act of defeating an enemy or an opponent. The word victory means an act of defeating an enemy or an opponent in a battle, in a game, or in a competition. Biblically, we will say that victory is overcoming or winning in a competition or struggle over an enemy or an opponent or difficult problems. The ability to overcome, to win, to rise above in a struggle with an opponent, with an adversary, or with difficult problems or challenges. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The key to our victory is our faith in Christ Jesus, and it is by that faith that we are born again. And because of that faith, we have overcome. Amen and amen. Victory also means okay, so this victory is achieved, like I said, by our faith in God. This faith will compel us to obey His will and to rely on His strength rather than our human effort. Our ability to overcome, to rise above, and to stay victorious is not by human effort. The Bible says not by might nor by power but by my spirit. It is through our faith in God, our submission to His will, and also our dependence on His strength. I told you at the beginning of the year some of the areas that God wants us to live victoriously. As a believer, God has prepared for us a victorious life, meaning a life that overcomes challenges, situations, rises above circumstances. A life that puts you above the enemy and all his assaults. That's the kind of life God has prepared for you as a believer. Not the life of failure, not the life of misery, not the life of discouragement and despair. Not that kind of life. Not the life that makes you feel that you are downtrodden by situations and by challenges around you. A life that makes you see your dominion and authority over the devil and all his assaults and his devices. That is the life of victory promised by God to every believer. And it is God's desire that you walk in it. Also, I told us some of the areas where we would need to see this victory manifested in our lives. Victory over sickness and affliction, so that your body can stay in good health. Victory over ignorance, so that your mind can be enlightened. Victory over challenges, circumstances, and situations. You remember the joke I used to crack when I said I have 3 degrees. I have a BA, I'm born again. I have an MSc, master over situation and circumstances. That's the meaning of the MSc. So, a life of victory means that you gain mastery over situations and circumstances. It doesn't mean that at every time they will go, but it means whether the situations remain or they go, you have gained the knowledge that helps you rise above them. So you can either tell the situations to go and they go, or if the situation stubbornly remains, you have gained the knowledge and the ability that helps you rise above and remain more than a conqueror, regardless of the surrounding situations around you. I also said that God wants us to experience victory in our finances, over poverty, over sin, that you will no longer live as a slave to sin. That you will no longer be bounded by addictions. That you will no longer be subject to the lusts of the flesh. That you will no longer be subject to certain mistakes. That's what they call it. The sinful nature. But that you are able to exert your victory over them. And see different aspects of our life that God wants us to exert and to see this victory over. And it's something that it is important you, by the teaching of the word, by the walk of faith and by the practice of scripture that you will begin to come into this while you are on earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It will be useful to you when you are able to live in that victorious or live that victorious life on earth. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And so in the spirit of the word for the year, we are going back again to that word that God gave us. But this time around, we are going to treat it from another aspect. I've said before, for those of us who have been consistent with the teachings from this place, most times when I'm talking about or when I'm challenging people to grow in different aspects of our life, some of you may have heard me say again and again that what do you do when the enemy is you? So what I mean by that is sometimes the reason why we are not able to achieve mastery, to challenge ourselves to grow and also to live this victorious life, may be as a result of reasons connected to ourselves, our decision. There are times when our actions or our mindset sabotage the work of God in our lives. As far as God is concerned, He wants us to grow and to advance. But sometimes our mindsets, our actions, our belief systems may be the reason why we are betrayed from not coming into these realities. That's what I mean by asking that question. What do you do when the enemy is you? It's okay to deal with an enemy outside, but when the enemy is within, it becomes very difficult and you need to be very systematic and sincere to deal with it. There is a scripture in Proverbs. I think it is Proverbs chapter 16, the second to the last verse or so. Proverbs chapter 16, the second to the last verse. It said that he that has rule over his spirit is more than he who takes a city. And he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. In other words, as far as God is concerned, strength is looked at first of all by your ability to exert or establish self-control. What God sees as strength in your life is when your ability to exercise self-control over yourself. When you are able to bring yourself under subjection, submitting to the will of God in such a way that you are not the reason for why you retrogress. You are not the reason for why you are not living in the fullness of what God has destined for you. Do we understand what I'm saying? For instance, if the reason why somebody is not performing very well academically is because they are lazy readers, the fault is from who? Is it a demon from their father's house? Or is the problem with the lecturer or the teacher? The problem is with the individual. And in Christianity today, I can tell you the truth, if we can be honest to ourselves, in addition to all that Jesus has done for us, one of the reasons why many people are not living the fullness of the life that God has designed for them, majority of the reasons is attributed to self-involvement. And the teaching tonight will address that. So that anything in you that sabotages your destiny or that makes you nosedive into things that God has brought you freedom from, so that you can live the victorious life as a believer, the teaching tonight will help you address those things. Some of them we call weaknesses and some of these things, so that we can live victoriously and enter into the fullness of what God has for us. Somebody say amen to that. The title of the teaching tonight is Victory Over You. That was the best way I could title it. Victory Over You. Victory over who? Thank God you didn't say you back to me. Victory over you. One of the places where you must exercise victory over. yourself. Amen. Gang. Some people are already sensing what, where I'm about to go to. Just sit down there. You came for the service. Amen. Don't turn it off. You are just keep watching. There are two aspects by which you can experience victory over you. Number one, over self. And number two, over the flesh. And we are going to examine these two aspects very, very well. And I want you to pay attention. Even if you are not born again, you will understand, because I'll try to be as basic as possible. And then the end of this teaching is so that we can stand up and really cry to God and settle certain things that will not allow us move into destiny and live the victorious life that God has given to us. Samson was a mighty man in scripture. His strength brought victory to Israel many times. One occasion he killed 1,000 men. Another occasion, more than 1,000. But what was in him that brought victory to an entire nation was what destroyed him. And you know the story of Samson. And so that we don't end up like people, or end up in the order of people like Samson, or think about people like Judas. He was very close to Jesus. He was supposed to be among the first set of people to experience salvation. In fact, him being among the 12 disciples already had given him a seat and a throne in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told his disciples before he went to the cross, he said, "You will sit on the 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel." But all of those great benefits that Judas had to enjoy, he didn't live to enjoy it. Why? Because something in him sabotaged that destiny. My prayer for you is that at the course of this teaching, anything that is in you that the devil has seen and wants to exploit to destroy your life and your destiny, because of this teaching, God is going to cut those things off your life. Say amen like people who are ready for destiny. And I hope you know I'm praying that prayer for you and myself. So victory over you can be established when you gain victory over over self and victory over the flesh. I'm going to come to that. Romans chapter 6 verse 11 to 14. This is the scripture we'll begin with, and this is the scripture we will end with. Let's start from here. It says, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." It says, "Reckon yourselves." Therefore, next verse. "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its laws." According to that scripture, it means that nobody falls into sin as a believer, because in Christ Jesus, God has given you victory over sin. And that's why verse 11 says, "Reckon." Reckon means this should be your mentality from today, that this thing that you were a slave under, God has given you victory over, which is sin. And it says, because of that, now that God has given you the upper hand over sin, mastery over sin, it says, "Do not let sin reign it in your mortal bodies." So if you say an unbeliever fell into sin, fine. And sometimes for the purpose of, you know, teaching, we can say a believer fell into sin. But the truth is, henceforth, as a believer, as a child of God, because of the victory God has given you in Christ Jesus over sin. Remember Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. But for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." So the law of the spirit of life, which is in you, raises you above the law of sin and death, which works in your body. So you now have authority over sin. And that means if you commit sin as a believer, it's not by mistake. It was a conscious act. And it was consciously done because you lost consciousness of the authority that you now have to allow or to disdain the act of sin. Do we understand what I'm saying? Because you hear people say, oh, it's the work of the devil. I agree. The temptation may have been the work of the devil, but the act was not the work of the devil. Which clothes did he wear? Was he on suit that day? Or he wore native day? And he came to tempt you with native. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you have authority to refuse the act of sin. Let's read on verse 12 of Romans chapter 6. Verse 12. Let's go again from verse 12. It says, and do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you in Jesus' name. I want you to look at verse 13 very well. I want to show you something there. Because verse 13 captures the victory over self and over the flesh. It says, do not present your members, that is your body now, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Every action that leads to sin was committed by your body. The Bible says, don't give your body to unrighteous acts that lead to sin. It says, but present yourself other than the flesh, other than your body. It says yourself first, presented to God with the consciousness that God has made you alive from death. God has made you alive from sin, because sin separates you from the life of God, and that's the state of death. The state of death is separation from God because of sin. The state of death is being a slave to all manner of temptations because you have yielded to sin. Put that verse 13 again. So yourself be presented to God first. When you have yielded yourself to God, then you can now exercise authority. Yourself cannot exercise authority over the body, so that the body does not yield to sin. But the Bible says, rather your body will become members or instruments of righteousness to God. So your body can be used to adore God. It can be used to obey the will of God, which is righteousness. That is possible because self has been presented and submitted to God first. Let me explain further. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and in verse 7, it says, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Then it says, resist the devil and he will flee. That means your ability to resist the devil and he heeds to your authority is when you come under the authority of God. So the devil is not fleeing from you because your name is Christian or because your name is Jessica. See, after all, J-E-S is in my name. J-E-S is in Jesus' name. So we are together. The devil has no business with that. You understand? Oh, my name is Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. I've seen some very terrible Emmanuels. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've seen some people bearing Emmanuel and I thought they should have called them Lucifer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the reason why the devil will be afraid of you is because you have come under the authority of the government of God. So when he sees you, he's not looking at you. He's looking at the authority you represent. Submit yourself under God. Then he says, resist the devil and he will flee. So if you are not submitted unto God, when you resist the devil, what will happen? So that's the meaning of verse 13 of Romans chapter 6. When you have submitted yourself to God, your body now becomes a slave to obey you. And why it will obey, as it obeys you now, it is obeying God because you have been surrendered to God. And so everything you would want to think and desire will lead to righteousness. So your body becomes an instrument for righteousness. Do we understand that? Let me start the teaching by first talking about the nature of man. And we are going to run through it from the Old Testament down to the New Testament. The nature of man, because somewhere we need to really explain what this self and flesh is all about. But the only way you can understand self and flesh as a part of you is when you understand the nature of man. So in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26 to 27, the purpose of man was discussed. God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. And let him have dominion over this. Then in verse 27, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. This was the summary of what happened in Genesis at creation. Notice that in verse 27, likeness. The word likeness was missing. Only image is there. That means that God in Genesis did not fully achieve the creation of man. Because his desire was that man will be according to his image and his likeness. According to his image means he will carry my nature. According to his likeness means he will live like me. He will have the same construction that I have. The only difference will be that there will be a part of him that is connected to the universe where he exists, which is the earth. Do you understand? But according to verse 27 in Genesis chapter 1, we see that God did not fully achieve the creation of man in Genesis. Something went wrong. Let's continue. In chapter 2 verse 7 of Genesis, the Bible says, so God formed man. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. In chapter 1, verse 26, we see God talking about the purpose of man. But in chapter 2 was when the construction happened. The Bible says he formed man from the dust of the ground. That was a body. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Where is your nostril? Some people don't know nostril. Some people went to night school. Borno State adult for mass literacy and where they just use Hausa to teach you. Amen. This is your nostrils, where you breathe with, the opening of your nose. Amen. Thank you for saying thank you. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being. So man had body, he had soul. But remember, the concept of the creation of man was supposed to be in the image and the likeness of God. Right? Now, man had a body. And that body had a soul because of the breath of God that came. But the spiritual aspect of the creation of man, which was supposed to be the final part of his creation, was not concluded before man fell. What man had was not spirit in him. He only had the breath of God that made him have a soul. That soul is the organ for interaction. That soul is the animation of the body. Your body is useless without a soul. Part of your soul is your mind. That is where your cognition comes from. That's where thinking, reasoning comes from. The reason why you can look at a body and say this body is Pastor Henry is because there's something in that body that makes him exhibit characteristic features attributed to Pastor Henry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the spiritual aspect, before it was done, man went and ate the fruit and aborted that mission. If God had achieved the spiritual aspect of the creation of man, I think Adam would have looked like Jesus when he resurrected from the dead. That's how Adam would have been. Full dominion. Physical body, but was not limited by anything spiritual or physical. That's how Adam would have been. In fact, he would have lived forever because he now had the life of God in him. But, you know, it's not today that men always like to do I too know. And when I say men, I'm not talking the gender, I'm talking all of us. Just before God will create the likeness aspect, man felt he knew more. Satan came and said, if you eat this fruit, you will become like God. Was there a need to become like God? It was already captured that you will be as God. The process was still on. If I was God, maybe I would have finished the process before bringing Eve, because I think it was the coming of Eve that... And I don't mean to sound gender biased. Amen. It's you now, it's your laughter. Man aborted it, and all man was a living soul. A living soul, soul and body, but with breath. The Spirit of God was not dwelling in man, and because of that, man didn't have the nature of God in him. So it became difficult for man to exhibit righteousness, for man to exhibit holiness. The qualities that makes God, God, was void in man because the creation project was hijacked. So after the fall, what was the nature of man? Like I said, man only had flesh, which was his body, and his soul. Because of the fall, man was separated from God. By eating that fruit of good and evil, man had declared independence from God, meaning he was going to survive on his own. So yes, he knew good from evil, but he didn't have the ability to choose good over evil and live with good more than evil, because he didn't have the nature of God in him. So man will know good and evil and still do evil, because the nature of God was not in him. The soul of man had become corrupt after the fall. The soul of man had become corrupt because it was independent from God. So the soul of man was selfish. It only cared about itself. The soul of man had pride in it. It exalted man above every other thing. That's where we get self from. What of the body? Sin now dwelt in that body. By sin, I mean the nature for evil was now locked in this body. And so this body had desires that made man subject to evil and away from the life of God. I give you scriptures to prove that. Genesis 7 verse 22. Please give us the scriptures quickly. Genesis 7 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So man didn't have the spirit of God. He only had a measure, the breath from the spirit of God. Another scripture, Job chapter 27 verse 3. Job 27 verse 3. It says, as long as my breath is in me and the breath of God is in my nostrils. So you don't see that the Spirit of God is living in man. It's only the breath that was in his nostrils to give life to the body. But the body now having life will still carry on its own lust. will still be subject to the nature of sin. More scriptures. Job 33 verse 4. It says, the Spirit of God has made me. How? The breath of the Almighty has given me life. More scriptures. Psalms 35 verse 9 to 10. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. You see soul there. And all my bones shall say, excuse me, your bone is from where? Your bone is where? So verse 9 tells us of the soul of man. Verse 10 tells us of the body of man, but you don't see spirit there. Because of the hijacking process that happened in the Garden of Eden. Right? That was the nature of man after the fall. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 22. You now see why Israel, they were so stubborn. Sometimes when you read the stories in the Old Testament, you see people misbehaving. It's as if you should chuck your hand in the Bible and go and knock the person. Right? David, that will praise God today, tomorrow go and take somebody's wife and sleep with the woman, and wrote in a letter to the general in the in battlefront, he said, kill the person bearing this letter. What brought such wickedness? It was because the nature of God was not in man. The project just before it was completed, so that man would be according to the image and the likeness of God, was hijacked. And because of the fall, man was separated from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's like a robot that they are trying to construct, and before they finish it, something happens, there's a malfunctioning. Or like a phone. And then they have to recall the phones back. Have you seen those phones that it will just hang? It will just freeze. You slap, plug charger is just there. Something, and especially if it's a new phone, I'm not talking about those of you that go to buy, I'm not talking about fairly used phones. You know, there's Dubai used. Then there's London used. Then there's Tukumo. That's Nigerian used. No, I'm not talking about Nigerian use. You know, some of us, because of abundance of money, we'll go to Bulukutu and buy. Amen. Not talking about that kind of, I mean, brand new phone, no. But, so something was wrong. Something, there was a distortion in the process. And so man kept living like that, corrupted from the fall. His body loved sin. In fact, the nature of sin was now in the body of man. So from that time, anybody that was born with a human body was already a sinner. That's why David said, in sin, my mother, It's just like taking a good shower. Then you dress up with clothes that you wore to play football yesterday and you sweat inside. And you know, some people when they sweat, you don't smell anything. But some other people when they sweat. Amen. Why are you looking at me like this? It's common to every race, so even with Yubo people. Eh? Just like somebody who takes his bath and then puts on a dirty cloth. This suit that we call the body was already corrupted with sin. That's the reason why even a small baby can behave stubborn sometimes. Sometimes they'll cry that they want to suck. And when you put them to suck, they're not really sucking. They're just playing with the thing. As if they were the ones that went to Lhasa to go and pay bride price for the thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you are not offended by my teaching, you know? I'm trying to be as graphic, but at the same time, censoring everything. I watched one video, I don't know, maybe I'll send it to our group chat, about, you know, babies acting selfish when they take their food. In fact, one of them, as soon as they removed the thing from my hand, she slapped. And I say, how does an infant know sin in the body, self in the soul? me. Self makes you feel only you is existing. Self is what gives birth to greed, pride. It exalts your image. All you see is you, and you don't care about any other person. In fact, in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, the Bible says that just as through one man, sin came into the world, and death through sin. So after the world, the nature of man was just self and the flesh. Isaiah 2:22. He says, sever yourselves from such a man. And then he describes the nature of man, whose breath is in his. That was the only spiritual thing about man, breath. But there was a prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 27. The prophecy was of redemption and what God would do to complete the creation of man after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 36, you should be there by now. 36, 27. It says, I will put my spirit within you. I will, future tense, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 37 verse 12 to 14. This was a prophecy about redemption. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people. Remember, by this time the dry bones were already living as an exceeding great army. They were already alive. So he was now prophesying to them that just the way I turned dry bones to become human beings, he says, even so, at the new birth experience, at redemption, I will finish the creation of man. Look at this. He said, oh my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. And next verse now, verse 14. He says, and I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. Were they not alive? They were alive, but not unto God. They were alive to themselves. And they were only alive to live according to the nature of flesh. So they were already doomed to sin. He said, but this time when I put my spirit in you because of redemption. So redemption was now the completion of creation of man from Genesis. He says, I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. That was the prophecy of the new birth. That was the prophecy of redemption. Jesus also prophesied in John chapter 14 verse 16 to 17, talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit into project man. Jesus said, this Holy Spirit is called the Helper. He will abide with you forever. In verse 17, he says, it's the Spirit of truth that the world does not see. The world does not have, nobody who is an unbeliever has the Holy Spirit. All they have is breath in their nostrils so that their body can be alive. But they didn't have God living in them. He said, but for you, when I die and broker the sacrifice for redemption, he says, you, he will dwell with you and will be in you. And it is when the Spirit of God comes to live in man, that is what we call new birth. That's when we can say that the creation of man has been completed, because now man has both the image and the likeness of God. So he has the nature of God in him, and he has the ability of God to live like God. Not just knowing, but living as God. And this was achieved after Jesus resurrected and ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit came. In Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, the Spirit of God came. And from that time, when people are saved and get born again, the Spirit of God comes to live in them. In fact, in the same Acts chapter 2 verse 38 to 39, in Peter's sermon, he told them, he says, repent, therefore, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will come. So God was on a process of redeeming the nature of man. And the full package of redemption was to capture the Spirit of God living in man. That was God's desire from the beginning, that he will live in man and be God over the earth. If you are with me, say amen. In Romans chapter 8 from verse 9 to 11, this is how the real man, the new man, should operate. The man that now has spirit, soul, and body. These are how we operate. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. In other words, you are not living according to the desires of your flesh, but according to the desires of the Spirit of God that is in you. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you by the Holy Ghost, it says the body is dead because of sin. Sin is still in your body, oh, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So verse 11 tells you how a new man, the real man, should operate. Yes, your body still has the nature of sin in it, but the Spirit of God is now living in you and has made you alive unto God, made you conscious of the nature of God that is in you. And that Spirit is what will take over your soul and your body. When the Spirit takes over your soul, you are no longer a selfish man. You are now a man that lives in the consciousness of God. And when he quickens your mind, the word quickens there means it will give life, another life to your body. You see, there is a life in your body that makes you behave like flesh, that makes you behave like a human being, that makes you susceptible to sin, that makes you susceptible to evil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why somebody can betray his brother for money. That's why somebody can use his sister for ritual. Is his sister of the same blood, but you go use him for ritual. Why? He's a slave to the life of evil, of sin that is in his body. But when the Spirit of God dwells in that man, the Spirit of God gives another life to that body. That life is not blood. That life is the ability to bring the body under control, so that instead of the body yielding to sin, the body will now yield to God. And that makes saying no to sin easy. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. If you don't get this part, don't worry. Go and watch the message again. You will get it. Amen. Because even if I use Hausa, there's only a limit I can go. Now that we know the nature of man, let's talk about the soul. The concept of the soul. Want to examine the concept of the soul and the body of man, because after the fall, it was just soul and body. So let's examine the concept of the soul. The word soul in Hebrew, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew language, not in English language. So your English Bible was transliterated or transcribed from Hebrew to English. And in that transcription or transliteration, there is a lot of gap, because the Hebrew language is more complex than the English language. The word for soul in Hebrew is the word nephesh. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. Nephesh. Nephesh in Hebrew, transcribed into English, it means a living being. Just like you saw in Genesis 2:7, it's a man became a living being. That's the part of man that animates the body. Without the soul, you will just have a lifeless body lying down. But with the soul in the body can stand upright, can turn, can walk, can eat, can sleep, can talk, can reason. that those activities are possible because of the soul that is in the body. So the word nefesh, which is the Hebrew word for soul, means living being or life or person. So the soul of an individual is the very person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In Greek language, because the New Testament was written in Greek, the word for soul is the word psuche. I know somebody is already spelling S-U. No. It's spelled P-S-U-C-H. P-S-U-C-H. The P is silent. It's the word psuche. Maybe that's where you get the word psychology. Psychiatric. Right? All that is concerned with the soul. It means life or soul or self. It means self. That word suke also means self. So when you hear us talk about self, we are talking about the soul of a man. When man fell in the garden, before the fall of man, the soul was innocent. The soul didn't know what good and evil was. It just moved around with the body and did. That's why the Bible says at the end of Genesis chapter 2, remember when God said in verse 24, it says, so shall a man leave his father and mother. And you know now, wedding people, you know. Then the Bible says at the end of that chapter, it says, and the two of them were naked, verse 25, and they were not ashamed. So they were just moving around the garden with no clothes. And they were not ashamed. Why? Because before the fall, self was not a nature that existed in the soul of man. Man was innocent. But after the fall, man became conscious of his soul. That's where self came in. That's why they look for leaves to cover themselves immediately. Isn't it? So self is the fallen nature of the soul of man that makes man conscious of him, conscious of his life. It's just all about you. And so everything you want to do is to please you. That's self. That's the life of self. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the nature in a woman that makes her manipulate her husband to get money. Self. Somebody shout self. Brothers, don't laugh, because I'm coming to you right now. Sometimes when a man is angry, let me say something that nobody really says, and open your eyes to something. Have you seen a person who is, if they get angry, they react to everything around them. They are angry with everybody around them. Everybody will get a share. Let me tell you something about men. Sometimes, and it's the nature of self in soul, in our soul. Sometimes when you see a man behave like that, he's actually angry at himself for acting like that. That's why they say anger is, you say, you lose control or your temper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you see a man just discharging on everybody like that because of a small issue, sometimes he's angry at himself for acting like that. So that he alone will not share in the anger, let him vent it to everybody, so that his selfish nature can find satisfaction that at least everybody is feeling bad. You were laughing when I was talking about the women. So that nature of self is what produces ego in men. That's why you see men, most times they are only interested in anything a woman is saying or doing if it attends to their ego. So why did you give her money to buy clothes? Is it really because you don't want her to be clothless? So that they will not say, my wife, now me know they take care of my wife. Self. Right? Why does he always want to make a show? Self. Most times, especially if that man is not born again or regenerated. Self. And it controls many things that people do. Why would somebody go and rent a house of 700,000 when they are earning 200,000 per month? 150,000 per month? Self. So that when they come to my house, self. That thing that makes you conscious only of you. When you are making decisions that you know will affect everybody around you, but you don't try to look at it from their perspective, how it will affect them. You only do it because of how it will fit you. Didn't the Bible say that there is a way that seemeth right to the eyes of a man? That's self. Somebody shout self. Samson went to the land of the Philistines, saw a lady, doesn't know where the lady came from. Doesn't know the history of her family. Doesn't know what generational curse she's carrying on her head. He doesn't even know whether she's initiated as a witch or not. He went back and told his parents, get her for me as a wife, for she pleases me well. Self. You see, Samson's problem started from where? Self. Even though God gave him strength to defend Israel. I hope you know there were some battles that Samson fought that was based on self. It was just for his ego. For instance, the 1,000 men, the 30 guys that he killed, nobody asked you for riddle. Maybe he had drank enough wine during his wedding. You know the first wedding? He had drank enough wine. That's in Judges chapter 14. Perhaps he had drank enough wine. He was just happy. Or maybe he just wanted to show so that his lady, his wife will feel, this my guy is Odogu. And then he gave a riddle. Shut your mouth. What's the need for a riddle? He gave a riddle. He said, if you solve the riddle, I give you 30 changes of clothing and 30 garments. If you don't solve the riddle, you give me. Nobody asks you for riddle. Just carry your wife, they go. Talk. The guy's mad, and now you self manipulated his wife and collected the answer to the riddle. And so that Samson will not be ashamed. You know, he could decide not to do anything. And he went, self. It's the same self that made Herod behead John the Baptist. Because the Bible says when Herodias' daughter, why will a king say ask for anything? You see, let me tell you something. As you rise in life, young men, young women, listen to me. As you grow in life, financially and otherwise, as you are rising, limit how much promises you make. Otherwise, sometimes your promises will snare you. I've been a victim of that. And I've had to grudgingly fulfill the promise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you are just so excited. There's a portion in Ecclesiastes, say, when you are happy, when you are too happy, don't talk. When you are too sad, don't talk. I'll give you 100,000. Or maybe they are doing a birthday now and they are cutting cake. Self, he just marched to the front. I'm giving, and then he calls an exorbitant amount. Yes, everybody will clap for you. You are the Odogu. But much later, when it's time to redeem the vow, say, oh boy. Self. And that's what happened to Herod. The Bible says, when the girl asked for the head of John the Baptist, the Bible says he was sorry. He said, but because of the people around him, so that he will not be ashamed, he beheaded somebody that Jesus called the greatest prophet. Ended the man's life. Self. has put many people into trouble. And until you are able to exercise victory over self, with all the parameters in place, there will still be something in you that will be sabotaging you from entering your God-ordained destiny. But God brought you tonight to bring an end to it. In the name of Jesus. The concept of the flesh. Of course, flesh typically means the physical body, isn't it? It also means the sinful inclinations or desires that oppose the will of God in that body. The nature in the body that makes it oppose the will of God, that makes it drawn to sin. That's what we also call flesh. So when we talk about flesh in the New Testament, symbolically, it is beyond just your body. It's talking about the nature in your body, your human body, that is inclined to sin and always opposes the will of God. Anything in you that makes you fight the will of God, you are dealing with the flesh, the nature of sin in this body. Now, it's not like it's a part of your body. It's your whole body. Are you seeing that? So it's like he's speaking to you from all angles. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I quoted the scripture. It said, just like by one man, sin came into the earth. Why? Because that man had fallen and he had flesh. And every other person that was given birth to had flesh. And flesh was the nature of sin in the body of man. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 24. We are still talking about the concept of the flesh. Romans 7, 14 to 24. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual. That's the law that God gave Moses to govern the children of Israel. He said, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Carnal there means I am in the flesh. It means I am being controlled by the nature of sin that is in my body. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. For instance, somebody can be feeling sleepy and still sit before Netflix, and he will hit his eyes 3 times and still sit down there. But the moment you say, let's pray, from that spot, the person will start sleeping. But he can stay awake and watch Netflix. Is there any problem with the Netflix? Not really. But there's every problem with the nature. There's a nature in his body that makes him like anything that is against God. That's the reason why, pray for 1 hour, you can't stand it. You are sleeping and yawning. The moment you finish that 1 hour, you go with your phone for 2 hours. Even you at a point, you now say, wait, what am I doing with this phone? You see some people yawning in the morning. They go to the office, they are yawning in the morning. When you check, they didn't sleep till 4 a.m. Why? The flesh made them stay on their phone. Browsing. What Paul said, what I am doing, I don't know. Let's read on. It says, no, go back. If then I do what I will not do, I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So when you say, when they say, why you do it? You say it's the devil. The devil is your flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's go on. Somebody said the devil is you. I didn't say that. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Now you know. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. It even say do, I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil that evil is present within me. The one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's the spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of what? Why did he say body of death? Because there is sin in it. And the price for sin is what? So he says there is a law. Because even when I don't want to do it, I still find myself doing it. That's the nature of sin that is in your flesh. You see, that nature in your body hates God. It will never agree to anything that is of God. And most times that's what many people yield to. Are you following me? So when you are fasting, why is it the day that you decided to fast that your stomach started developing another kind of pain you don't understand? Now, he says that law of sin that is in your flesh is warring against your mind. Your mind said, I will fast and pray, which is supposed to please the spirit. But your body said, fast fire. There's mango in the fridge. Eat them, it goes spoil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, that's it. It can give you all kinds of excuses. If you don't chop them, it goes spoil. And when it's time to break your fast, there'll be nothing to break your fast. And while you are praying, all you are seeing is mango. On a normal day, it's the same mango you are passing out at the junction. But today, you don't even need to, it's in your fridge, but you are looking at it in your mind. I guess when Jesus was tempted by the devil, it was his flesh that the devil exploited. I don't really think that the devil was there presently with one long tail and big horn. I say, you don't finish. Oh yeah, now. No. Jesus was there alone. But hunger from the flesh, and the flesh made him start seeing stone like bread. Do you understand it now? Yeah, it was that the flesh that made him see stone like bread. I mean, just think of it. When you want to fast, the kind of food that the devil will suggest to you, that your flesh will suggest to you to break with, are foods that you will not even have time to eat on a normal day. Kuli kuli. Flesh. Somebody shout the flesh. Mm-hmm. That guy is an old enemy of man. He was there where man fell. He's as old as the Garden of Eden. He's with us. He's in this body right now, carrying the nature of sin. And he plans that he will not allow you to serve God. He will not allow you to do anything that please God. Once you decide to do something that will please God, your body will start fighting you. It's not your body. It's the nature of the flesh in your body. And there has to be a way to exercise victory over it and bring it under subjection. If not, your flesh will destroy you. And it will not be with you in hellfire. Because dust will go to dust now. He leave you to burn. No, that's what the devil do. He tempts you to sin. When you sin, it will run. He was the one that moved you to call that lady to come to your house. And the moment the lady came and sat down, in fact, he moved you to hug the lady. As soon as you hug the lady, the nature began to. And you know, your body can speak. It has its own kind of language. As if you don't have sex that time, you will not be satisfied. You will die. That's how the nature of the flesh is. It will so put pressure on you that if you don't gratify, it's lost. It's like you will die now. Rapture will happen. But when you finish, it will just be quiet there. And now leave you with the regret. You will now stand there. Oh Lord, my heavenly Father, my Creator, my God. Somebody shout the flesh. You called it because it's your real enemy. Romans chapter 8. For from verse 5. We're almost done. Romans chapter 8 from verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Set their minds. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds. That's flesh. It's either the flesh of the person operating or the flesh of the computer. I'm just joking. Verse 6 now. He said, for to be carnally minded, that means if you're always thinking about your body and how to gratify his lust, is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Galatians chapter 5, the Bible talks about the works of the flesh. Verse 19 to 21. Just in case you so love your flesh and you want to live to fulfill its desires, let me show you what it will lead you into. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Number one, adult and tree. Number two, fornication. Number three, uncleanness. Number four, that means, how do I describe lewdness? People who are always, you know, what's the word I will use? An insatiable sexual desire. Lewdness. They are always turned on every time. Uninterrupted power supply. Have you seen those kind of people? Idolatry. Idolatry. Some ladies have made their skin their idol and bleached their color from black to white to purple. Just rub the one that suits your skin and be the way you are. No. My skin must be glowing. Idolatry. Sorcery. Witchcraft. Hatred. Contentions. Argument. The flesh loves that. Strife. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, go on. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of. Can I tell you something? Even evil people don't like any of these things we mention. But they are doing it. Why? Because they are slaves to the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians 6 verse 7 to 8. It says anything a man sows he will reap. And then it tells us where you sow. It says he that sows to the flesh. How do you sow to the flesh? When you do anything that pleases or gratifies your bodily desires. I want to show you a research that I saw online recently. You'll be shocked at what you will hear. We are talking about the nature of the flesh. This is a recent study that was done for the effect of pornography in America. Listen to the statistics. It says, in every second in the United States, this is on pornography. $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography every second. Multiply that by 60. Multiply that by 24. How many millions of dollars spent on what? Pornography. Just watching sexual activity and then your body is satisfied. But at the same time, your soul is being corrupted. Because the flesh will make your soul get used to evil. So that when it is time to come close to God, you will naturally by yourself repel from God because you have become used to evil. Let me continue my statistics. 28,258 users are viewing pornography on the internet every second in the United States. 372 internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines. You know what adult search is? If you know, you are a suspect. If you don't know, something is wrong with you. I said every second, no. So a second that just passed now. Think of how much it will be in Nigeria. I'm sure the figures will double. Somebody's broke, but he will spend half of his salary on data. Why? Because flesh wants him to watch pornography or just be online chatting with everybody. And the flesh has created so much to distract us into sin that even now I heard that there are sites they call dating sites. Excuse me. Proverbs 19 verse 14 says, houses and riches are inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is of the Lord. If it's time to marry, go and pray and ask God to marry. No, there's a dating app. And you go on that dating app and you don't know whether it's Karashika. You are typing, you are chatting with flesh. Are you ready to exercise victory over the flesh? Are you ready to exercise victory over self? Because when I made it this bogus so that you can see the real enemy we are dealing with. Most of our problem is not really the devil. Something in us is betraying us, and it's time to acknowledge that enemy and subdue it. Please get my teaching, subduing the flesh. You remember the spirit life part 2. Please listen to it. So how do we attain victory over the flesh? By putting to death or by crucifying the flesh. How do you attain victory over the flesh? By crucifying the flesh. When you crucify the flesh, you put it to death. How do you crucify the flesh? Does it mean literally go and stand on one tree and put nail to your hand? The pain will make you shout for joy. How do you crucify the flesh? Because when you crucify something, you want to kill it. That's how Jesus died. He was crucified. So the Bible is using the terms of that time to say you need to kill the flesh. How do you kill the flesh? By stabbing yourself with knife? No. By denying it of its lust. You need to learn to starve the nature of the flesh. For instance, somebody can say, I want to eat. And what was the answer? Yes or no. If you say yes, you give the person food, isn't it? You say no, you starve the person, isn't it? Even if the person hit the ceiling and come down, gather general house prayer. If you have said no to that person, no food is going to the person. I remember when we were in secondary school those days and when we were small. During break time, those who have money will go to the kiosk and buy things. And then, when we became senior boys, and you know, we'll look for one empty classroom and that's where we'll be eating. Then there are some people who don't have money to buy. They were beggars. They will just enter there and go from one person to the other. So the goal is if I pinch bread from this one by begging, pinch bread from this one by the time I pinch from like 5 people, I have a whole bread. So one day while we were there eating, one guy now shouted, he said, see, any of those beggars will come today, may nobody give them. May all of us say no. So one guy was entering, he had not even declared his attention. As he just enters, they say, no, no. So how do you gain victory over the flesh? You need to starve it. You need to learn to deny it. It will always tell you what it wants. It will always suggest to you. But you have the will to say yes and yield to it and be in trouble, or to say no if, for instance, somebody comes and is misbehaving around you, the flesh say, give this person a dirty slap. The flesh will not tell you that the person is a military man. The flesh will not calculate to you what you will do if the slap turned the other way. It just say, just cover that mouth. At that point, you can say yes, slap, and regret the action later. Especially if that person is your wife. Or you can say no to the flesh. Now I want to ask you, the voices in your mind, who are they? You see, many people take some actions, some decisions that they begin to regret later. Why? Who did they listen to? The one that is even funny is when you see some husband that knew that some husbands who are women beaters and they are unrepentant about it. But there are those ones that are funny. They will beat you. Later they'll come and beg. Tomorrow they'll beat. So you see the woman using makeup to cover the mark. Are you seeing that? And then when somebody challenges, I say, no, my husband is a good man. He will change. He's not a good man. He's under the control of the flesh. And let me advise you here, especially because I'm against domestic violence of any kind. If you don't reach beating stage, leave that house. I mean, even in preaching the gospel, Jesus said, if they persecute you in one city, he said, run to... Did he say stay there and die? People are dying for Christ. You are dying because somebody is beating you. Run. It's even worse when he has not married you and he's already slapping. Report to me. Don't say, some of the people that said, they are there. He has not even seen your parents, but he has slapped once. That guy needs to stay in jail for 7 days. No, not American jail, Nigerian jail. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the other side now. Some ladies, their mouth is like, you know, the Bible says, it's a broken heart and a contrite spirit the Lord will not despise. That's how your mouth is. Beating does not despise you because of your mouth. There are some women that will abuse the hell out of their husband. Call him all kinds of names. Is that not foolishness? That's the nature of the flesh. So you see, once it turns on, you need to censor every thought in your mind and know whether this is coming from the Spirit of God or it's coming from self or it's coming from the flesh before you act. That's why people who have anger issues are slaves to the flesh because they act before they think. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you need to learn to deny it of its lust every day. Romans 13 verse 14. Quickly, please. Romans 13, 14. He said, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for what? The flesh. To fulfill its lust. And it's a daily thing. Every day. In everything you do, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. There are some women, small argument that they have with their husband, they will go and sleep in their parents' place. Why are you quiet now? Is it not because your father, your parents are staying there? You know, there are some women that are still not women, they are children. The Bible says a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to the wife. Once you get married, you now visit your parents' place. You don't live there. But some women, any small thing, let him come and beg me. You are a slave to the flesh. Flesh. Stay there and resolve the issue like a matured woman. Any small thing. So even when they get pregnant, they are just going there. And make your husband spend money. Because if your husband is coming to see you in your parents' house, He can't just give you money and leave your parents like that. So you see the foolishness of that kind of a woman. You will not pay, you make your husband spend money for the whole house. And if I catch anyone here like that. No fight or nothing. Maybe just small argument. You just, not that demands, like, just small argument. You don't, if I catch you, you will, that back seat will create a back seat and you sit there. Flesh. Amen. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? It's a daily battle for a daily victory over the flesh. Every day. Even right now, some people that are going out and coming back, it's not really because of anything. It's the flesh that is telling them go out. Now that I've talked, let me see who will stand up and go out. Doesn't mean if you don't want to ease yourself, you can go out, okay? It's the flesh. It's the flesh. People are in church and they are operating their phone, browsing, doing another thing. Flesh. You need to learn to starve it, deny it of its lust. That's why fasting is a very healthy spiritual activity for anybody that wants to tame the flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fasting. I hated fasting, though. Let me tell you the truth. I didn't like fasting. From when they gave birth to me, my flesh naturally liked food. I was born with that one. In sin was my... Did my mother, I like food. I know many of you can't believe it because of what you are seeing now. It took a lot of dying. You understand? I deliberately did some fasting, not for anointing, but to subdue the flesh. Because they almost called food my son name. Everybody in my family down here, I like food. Because when you share food on the plate like this, I will look at my seniors and start crying. As if I want my food to be equal to them. They took me to pre-nursery. The first day they took me, I fought and scratched somebody's face. Why? He touched my kunu bottle. Ah. And the thing grew with me. It's not, this is not generational cause. Some things are not generational. It's here. It's genealogical cause. So when I started pressing into God, I noticed that thing. And I had to deal with it. So one of the things I would do was go on fast. And my brother is here, he can testify. I so fasted that my family became afraid. In fact, somebody said one day, say, Joe is crazy. You know those kind of fasts? People are breaking by six. That's when your fast is continuing. The next day. Not because of anointing. Because if food could become an idol because of the nature of the flesh, this thing may kill me one day. I may travel to preach in a place like Brazil and somebody can put poison in the food. You know, some of you pray for everything except food. That's why some of you have suffered from food poisoning. That food that you ate, that you had food poisoning, if you had prayed on it, it would have been sanctified. But you were so hungry because of the flesh, you rushed the food immediately. Next thing, you end up in the hospital. Apostle, I'm dying. The flesh. The flesh. So you have to deny it of its loss. I'll go to places they'll give me food. I'll say no. I remember one time a man of God I was training under. He was a prophet. So we used to go for family deliverance and family liberation and all of that. I didn't know he was watching me. So one time we went to pray for somebody in Abuja. In a highbrow place in Abuja. When we entered the guy's house, man, na house. Just forget, na house. As they ushered us in, we came for all night prayers and deliverance. Straight to the dining table. There was no space. You couldn't see the color of the top of the dining table. It was covered with all kinds of things. You see, that prepares a table before me. That was the first time I saw different colors of apple. So, food everywhere. My eyes were open. I consumed food. That day, I didn't know that my master was watching me. When it was time to pray, I was yawning at every interval. In Jesus. True story. I was already anointed of speaking in tongues. But food. So one day, we now traveled to Onitsha. No, not Onitsha. We're going to Newi for family deliverance. I'm talking about 2012, 2013. since that time. So we traveled to Newi. So we went to sleep in the man's place in Abuja, in Life Camp, I remember. Great place. Ate very well. The next day they put us inside Siena. Traveled inside AC. There was no breakfast. So me, I was just waiting for when we land. I knew that there was going to be food there. Ah. We landed. My Oga said, let's go and pray. I say, this man don't come again. What kind of? We stayed 3 days in that place. He didn't allow me to eat till in the night. Then one of those days, I ate before time. So we did the last prayer. I think it was second to the last prayer in the night. It was 12 midnight. We wake up and pray. Then the next day, you know, I broke the rule. The next day around 3 p.m., I was lying down and sleeping in the afternoon. And then something came to press me. When we were coming back, do you know when we finished that deliverance, we went to visit some people. He didn't allow us to eat anything. Hey, man of God, they'll bring this one. I remember one even brought upper. You know, not the upper that they do yell. The upper in Igbo land. Malo gedebo saiba. The man didn't allow me. When we're traveling back from Newi, we got to Onitsha, took a vehicle from Onitsha to Abuja, no food. My face was as rumpled as a cloth. Are you hearing me? He was trying to train me. And I had to deal with that thing. Deny it, deny it. Today, if I finish a plate of food, it's a miracle. So you know what that means. The devil can never use food to bait me. As cheap as it is, that was the first temptation that came to Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, he said, when you go to the house of a rich man, he said, if you are given to appetite, put a knife on your throat. He didn't say cut yourself. He said, regulate. Because as you are eating, they are using it to define who you are. Say, which kind of man of God with this way they eat? You know those kind of, they will shine the plate. One told me one time, he said, see, you need to eat well so that when you will shout well and say, hallelujah. I say, fresh. Say no to it. Go back and read Galatians 5 verse 16. Read 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11 to 12. In fact, let's read that one now. 1 Peter 2, 11. And then also read 1 Corinthians 15 verse 31. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 9 and verse 27. Chapter 9 verse 27. Chapter 9 verse 27 of 1 Corinthians, he says, I discipline my body. I put my body under subjection. You have to learn to discipline. Nobody will do it for you. You have to put this body under discipline. What you eat, how you eat, what you wear, sometimes even when you can afford it, but if you see that idolatry is already creeping in, anytime you see that your attention is so much on what you wear, it may be that idolatry has been introduced by the flesh. So sometimes, even when you can afford elaborate dressings, just dress simple. It doesn't mean you are poor. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. There are so many things to talk about, this flesh thing. Nowadays, especially the young people, please listen to me very carefully. Nowadays, Satan, you know, I heard this from a man of God. How many of you know Prophet Joel Ogebe? I'm quoting him because it's something very good. I heard it from him. And very, very powerful thing he said. He said, when the devil wants to increase iniquity in a generation, what he does is he raises a man, he chooses a man that will raise the standard. So let's say everybody's at this level. Then somebody will come and do something mad. And we'll all be talking about that thing. And forget the ones that we were struggling with till those ones now become normal. So now we are talking about same sex, homosexualism, lesbianism, isn't it? And we are forgotten immorality. That even man and woman, we know they married. is a sin. So it has crept into the church that even Christians are asking you, if you sleep with a person before marriage, is it a sin? Somebody that has done baptismal class in church, oh, is asking you that question. A Christian will ask, is kissing a sin? So we have gotten used to the new normal is iniquity. It's the flesh. Now it's normal for a lady to be living with a guy she's not married. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to sound judgmental, but even here, as we're sitting down here with all this talk, somebody can still have a lady in his house preparing stew. And when he leaves here, he will go back and eat that stew. And they will sleep together. You have made yourself a slave to the flesh. It may look enjoyable now, but you are drifting away from God. Your the nature of righteousness and holiness in you is gradually dying. So that very soon, it will become difficult. That's why we don't have spiritual encounters again. Because of the corruption of the flesh. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Call it what it is. And let me tell you something. I'm not that kind of man of God that will come here and shout and then in the back I'm doing another thing. No. In fact, No. There are some dimensions of God. You see, you know that this one, he cannot be sinning and doing this. See, if you want to go with God, if you want to build a relationship with God, it's everyday battle. The battle does not end till Jesus comes. Because even when you become a great apostle that the whole world knows, your flesh will still be suggesting to you. Do you know that there are some Nigerian preachers, I didn't call any name, but do you know there are some Nigerian preachers that travel to other countries to preach? They have children there that their family doesn't know. They have girlfriends there that their family doesn't know. Even female preachers. A man of God traveled to one place and the person hosting him told him, he says, sir, for your comfort, which one will you like? Tall or short? Dark or chocolate or fair? The man of God said, I don't understand what you are saying. He said, no, sir, you know the weather now is very cold. So it's our duty. That's what we'll do. We'll get a damsel that will be with you. She will just be here in this. So nobody will come. And he expects him to sleep with a woman that is not his wife. And then go to the meeting. And perform. Because church has been reduced to performance. No place for truth again. It's all show. Just like they were singing from my spirit. We're just that some people were jumping, not because of the spirit of the song. It's because he's dancing. And it's a groovy beat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something online now. People are talking about this song that has been going viral. And I'm going to go to say anything about that. I decided I will say nothing about that. It's not my business. But let's say the truth. Some people are using the excuse of certain kinds of song to bring in some dance steps that are of the devil. It's the flesh. We are gradually drifting from God. The holiness is no longer a thing with us again. And we need God to reappear to us again like Isaiah. Let me tell you the truth. If you want to pursue a glorious destiny, the flesh cannot gain control. There are kinds of anointings God cannot put in a vessel that is corrupted. There are things God cannot entrust you with because you are susceptible to your flesh. Your flesh is in control of you. When God knows that if you see food, you can do anything. You think God will bring you around kings and queens? When God knows that money is your bait, once they show money like this, your eye will just be moving like traffic light, like this. You think God will bring you around rich people? Some of you want to have sons and daughters, but there's still greed in your heart. You will rob all of them. So God will not bring anyone that is rich until you have the ability to look at somebody's riches and tell them you are wrong in this place. That's why in ministry, there's a level you get to. God will train you. There are things that it is time for you to have it, but God, for some reason, will not allow you to have it. Why? It's working on the heart. Your attachment to the flesh is stronger than you can imagine. And if God does not help you, you'll become like Samson. Samson with his hand ended his destiny. Why? because he could not control the flesh. But today God is giving us that victory that will give you the ability to say no. Finally, before we pray, how do you attain victory over self? Very simple. The key to victory over self is in one word, surrender. Self makes you conscious of you, makes you want to please you. The flesh makes you want to please the world, makes you conscious of sin. So how do you deal with self? Because in the soul of a selfish man is pride, is greed, is all about him, is ego, it's just him. You will need to surrender yourself to God. You need to become a slave to another person. Because if you are a master of yourself, you will please yourself. But if you are a slave to another master, yourself is subject to that master. And it will be that master you will please. I'm going to show you a scripture and then we'll pray. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 from verse 15. He said, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? He said, certainly not. Go on now. Help me, please. He said, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slave to obey, yourself, you present your soul. So you can make your soul obey your body, or you can make your soul obey the Spirit of God in you. He said, to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. He said, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, which was the message of salvation. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Go on. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. He said, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Go on. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed of? He said, for the end of those things is death. That means you are ashamed of that old life. He said, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So your soul, which is selfish, you must every day surrender it to God. God must be Lord over your life. You think that thing we say here is just a cliche? When people are answering the altar call and we say, make Jesus your Lord and Savior. He can be your Savior and you can still be Lord over yourself. Lord over you means every day you will deliberately submit to God. Lord, I surrender to you. I want to live for you today. Help my soul to be conscious of you and help me to walk in victory over the flesh. And as you step out that day, there will be many things around you that will give you options to either yield your soul to God and force your own body to obey God, or yield to the flesh and silence the voice of the Spirit in you. When we were in sin, we were independent. But now that you are free of sin and you are now in the kingdom, you will have to depend on God. You will have to come under the government of God. You will have to submit to God. Surrender is the key to victory over self. If you don't surrender, you will always live to please yourself. That's the reason why God will call a man and he will leave the calling of God into another ambition. Why? Self. That's the reason why somebody is not comfortable with what God gave them as their calling. It's another person's own that they like. Why? Self. That's the reason why a woman will tell you that, I don't believe in marriage anymore. I will just get pregnant and have a child and be a single mom. Because she saw a celebrity online who has followers. And to her, that person is successful because the person has public influence. Self. And distort the order that God had made. Self. Every day you must surrender to him. That is what worship is meant to do to you. Unfortunately, many of us don't like worship. During worship, you just stand like an iroko tree. Like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Why are they rolling on the ground? No, I can't. And it's not like the clothes is even very expensive. Maybe because he packed a Toyota RAV4 2025 model outside. See, no, how can I? Be careful when money comes. Be careful when position comes, because that's when we know how much self is dead. That's when we know how much of self has died. Everything in you would want to make you please you, but you must deliberately please him. When you surrender your soul to God, self has been dealt with. It will become easy to gain victory over the flesh. Your body will now become a slave to God. So even though your body doesn't like prayer, but because it is time for prayer and your soul has submitted to God that I must pray, tiredness or no tiredness, your body will drag itself to your prayer floor and remain there. And as you keep, and let me tell you something, your prayer is powerful when you get to the point of surrender in your prayer. That's when you lose consciousness of time. That's when you are not thinking of when to stop and you allow him to take over. If that is your prayer experience every day, you will have power with God. I tell you the truth. You will have power with God. God will look at a man that is completely yielded to him and he can release the anointing in greater measures, because he knows that pride will not step in, because self has been dealt with. Because you are living not to please yourself, you are living to please God. That's why, thank God, before he calls you, when he takes certain things that are precious to you, he's trying to deal with self, so that all you would desire is to please him. Some of you, God has called you, but your parents will not allow you to please God. You will choose them over God. Why the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord. Huh? There has to be a point where if the parents say, no, do God way, and you are now with God. Jesus, what did Jesus say? Any man that must follow me must deny who? Himself of his father and mother, and pick up his cross daily and follow me. It's a life of total surrender. It will make you surrender your ambition, surrender your pride and your ego as a man, as a Bura man, or as a man from Chibok. I'm from a royal family. You know who we are. This and that. You have to drop that thing. Drop it before God. It's true. There are many people who never believe in submission. They don't believe in submission to spiritual fathers or to mentors. Why? Self, pride, ego. Continue. And that's why you have been a Christian for many years, but your perspective about Christianity is so shallow. The way you react to things, it will look as if you just got born again yesterday. What is wrong with you? Because self is still your God. He's been in church for 15 years. He's meant to be an elder by now, but any small thing gets him offended. Is that the person that wants to oversee over people? You'll have to surrender that one. You would have to surrender your will. There will be times where God will tell you to go where you don't want to go, and you will have to go there. Itself has made some preachers in Nigeria never come to northern Nigeria to preach. Everybody's afraid of Boko Haram. They won't go to Sokoto. They won't go to Zamfara. They won't come to Maiduguri. Why? Because they love themselves. Self-security. The Bible says, he that loveth his life will lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Okay, now the insecurity has gone to the south. So all of us are in trouble. It's the truth. Cut this one and put it out to whom it may concern. Come and preach it. So, no. I'll just end in Abuja. This self thing, listen, that's why, let me tell you something. Admire us as men of God, oh. Admire those great ones, but when it comes to following or patterning your life, make sure you look at a man who is dead to self every day. See it in his life. Somebody will go where God wants him to go, whether he likes it or not. One of the men I so love in this our generation, God's servant, Dr. Paul Enenche. I love that man. No reservation. Anywhere God says, he goes. I understand that God may not send some people to some places, but the Bible says go you into all the world. You see him in Sokoto, you see him in Maiduguri, Pakistan. Do you know Pakistan is surrounded by Islamic nation? They can kill you there, but he lands there to preach. That's a man that is there. He can decide to live in his mansion and just be fine. He has the money. He has the global influence. What does he need again? But if you get to that point and allow self take over, you plateau. Your ministry will die. That's how you'll just be going. Many music ministers have sold themselves to self. Self is their God. That's why they will charge for money. They can even open their mouths and say, before I come, you'll pay me. Self is his God. $50,000, $100,000. And it's funny that it's the same people that we are singing their songs. Let me tell you the truth. Maybe this is a prophecy, but very soon you will start hearing the voices of some singers going down. Going down. Before we pray tonight, when I was preparing this message, I was looking for a song to sing that will lead us to pray. Because this is a message of consecration. This is a message of repentance. I was looking for a song that I would sing and I couldn't find. And then I asked myself, what's wrong with all our music ministers? Have God not so worked on you? Has he not dealt with, have you not had times in your life where God dealt with your flesh and you wrote a song from that experience that can lead us to repentance? No. It's copy and paste. Everybody's song is looking like the other person because they don't write songs from their experiences. We're going to pray tonight. Are you blessed? There's one song I was listening to before I came by Dunsin Oyekon. Hagiazo. Who can sing that song? Who can sing that song? We are going to sing it and pray. That was the only song I could find though. Self. Self. As a businessman, check your life. As a career person, check your life. What was supposed to be a blessing has become a cost. The position that God elevated you so that you can be a blessing to people, pride has stepped in. God no longer has control over you. Be careful with a man who does not regard authority, because his self has become his God. That man is a time bomb. He will soon die. Because of one small position, your knees cannot touch the ground again. The Bible says that the Lord knoweth our frame. He said, for we are dust before him. No matter where you rise to, always look at yourself as dust in the eyes of God. He picked you where you were nothing. And even now that men think you are something, you are still nothing being made something in his sight. Remain humble. Don't allow the blessings of God kill you. No. It's not the blessing that has the problem. It's the nature of flesh you have not dealt with. You are a young man of God and you are rising now. You are just, take time to flog this issue out. Let me tell you the truth. That's why I thank God for the way God trained me. There are still many things God is working in me. But let me tell you, a good portion of my walk with God, my training was around this. God kept dealing with this. There were some gifts that God withheld from my life. It was ordained for my destiny, but God, he withheld it to deal with me. Ladies cannot survive around you. If you look at them, that's how your eyes will just be rolling over. And you want to pastor a congregation of 1,000 with 400 ladies. All of them will just be getting, every month, one will be getting. By the time you travel to Brazil, where they have hair like that is as long as this point. Is it not some business trip that has killed some people? One business trip and now he has two wives in different parts of Nigeria. The same thing that you told God you don't want to see, that you saw in your grandfather and your father, now you have started it because of flesh. We are going to go before God. Rise on your feet. We are going to pray. We are going to cry to God. Huh? Who can sing that song? Give him a mic. Sing that song for us. Listen, this night, when we begin to pray, look at me. Anything that you know, whether of the flesh or self, you know that this thing, the more I live it, the more it will become a problem to me. I want you to flog it out before God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You hear me? Those days when we used to have worship meeting, concerts. I don't know how they do concerts these days. I've never been to one. They don't even invite me for one. Because if you invite me for a concert, it will not be a concert. It will be another thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, they don't invite me again. Concert now is just for young people to gather and sing and just enjoy and go. And they come in the presence of God and go back and nothing changes. In fact, they come and get more boyfriends. Those days when we're having music meetings, that's how it used to end though. Surrender, repentance. People will roll on the floor and cry. They will finish the service, some will not go home. They will just be sitting down thinking of their life. We stand at the altar for God to make us. Because you don't want to carry power that will kill you. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Why? Because self is still God. Self is still, if you bless me and God sees one well-nourished pride and ego sitting down there, 1 million will make you stand on the head of your pastor. Forget about 1 billion. There are some young ladies now that you are listening to me now. Your being broke now is God's show of love to you. Because you have not dealt with that thing in you that makes you like money. I was telling them on Monday, I said, I heard that now, talking stage, just talking stage or in relationship, they don't, they ask for money. Anybody that does that to you as a man, type the flesh and send it to them. Talking stage, they're already harvesting. Are you blessed tonight? I want you to open your mouth and just talk to God. Sing that song for me. Just speak to God. Alabakatolobos. Aria Fokoska. I'm going to give you, hear me, 2 minutes. You are going to cry to God. Many of us have great destinies. Many of us here will be global figures in the time to come. Forget about where you are. But what is that thing in you that is waiting for you to rise to that height and then strike you down? Deal with it before God now. You are a young lady. Tell God the truth now as we are praying. Lord, I like men. I don't know why, but just deal with it. Listen, when you are not sincere before God, you are a trouble waiting to happen. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Anything, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Anything you cover now may betray you on the day of destiny. But that God will ransom us tonight. That God will redeem us from the power of the flesh. From the power of self. I want you in the next 5 minutes, go to God. Go to God right now. Whether you are watching from your home or you are right here, forget about who is around you. Lift up your life to God right now and say, Lord, help me in this area. Help me in this area. Deal with this money issue. Deal with pride. Deal with anger.
Separate.
Make sure you're
God.
For the
sake of your destiny, for the sake of your calling, for the sake of the name of God, by that name, cry to him. Hey, separate me to you. Make me one. Make me one. Want to prove a point. That's the reason why you are always defending yourself. You always want to prove a point. Always want people to see you in a light. That's a part of self that must be dealt with. Please pray for the sake of your destiny. Pray for the sake of your future in Christ. Pray for the sake of the name of God. You will not be the one that will fail God. Pray. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. One more prayer before we go tonight. Please, I'd like you to take this moment very serious. Your destiny is at stake. The name of God is at stake. You don't know how tomorrow will be. That you will not tell God today you love him and tomorrow betray him. Listen. Peter told Jesus, he said, even if everybody leave you, I will not leave you. I will stay with you. Jesus said, you... self is still in you. You've not dealt with self. Judas's problem was the flesh. Your own problem is self. He said, you deny me 3 times. It was self that made Peter to say no to Jesus. Even after he said that. How can God tell you that this tendency is in you and you say God is not true? Guess what? When the time came, he even swore. He swore. If you don't deal with it, it will remain in you and tomorrow it will make you betray God. Think of how far you have come with God. Think of the promises of God for your life. Think of the dreams he has shown you. Think of the future ahead. Think of a global mic that he's going to give to you. Let not that thing that is in you rob you of that place. Hear me. I was reading about David this week. 2 Samuel. You remember the story of David and Uriah? Why did David do what he do? Or what he did? Slept with a man's wife? The man came. Look at this man was a loyal soldier. In fact, that man was one of David's best soldiers. David said, go home and rest. He refused to go home. Look at how loyal he was. He stayed at the guard room in front of the king's gate. And that's the man that David would say, kill him. Why? It was self. Self will make you think only about you. Self has made many people lose relationships that should help them. Some of you are not talking to some people because of self. Self. And you have not even harvested the reason for that relationship. Some of you are not talking with people that God has already designed that by next week they will be the ones that will lift you. But self and pride. You either repair it this night or you just continue your life like that. Some of you come from families that where you suffered. Yet your father, your mother knew many great people. That if you know this person, why don't you talk to them now? Self, ego. And now you are about to be a victim of it. You are going to cry to God. We are going to surrender to Him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The prayer we'll pray is the prayer of surrender. Many of you, in fact, when I was preparing this teaching, God told me many of us were about to lose relationships that He has designed to bless us because of pride, self. Self. One small thing. In fact, you are even assuming you don't know whether they did it or not. What you are working with is hearsay. You've not heard the truth. That's why it's difficult for people, for brethren in church to forgive one another. Why? Self. If you, all this talk, nothing in your heart moves. My brother, you are in a dangerous position. In the next 2 minutes, you are going to pray a prayer of surrender. Listen, this prayer does not know gender. It's not that there is no being a man here. If you need to cry to God, cry and say, Lord, I surrender any aspect of your life that you know God does not have control. Some of us, once we are angry, nobody can calm us down. You will remain with that anger till the sun goes down. 3 weeks later, you are still angry. Yet you are with your mouth saying, I've forgiven them, but I don't want to see them. No, sir. No, 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 no. Don't let that thing rob you of a glorious future ahead. What kind of a man was Jesus? Even on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the next 2 minutes, I want you to cry to God. Surrender to Him. Any aspect that you know you are still in control of. Say, Lord, I surrender my finances, my relationship, my anger issues, I surrender. My unwillingness to forgive and let go, I surrender. Cry to Him. It is a surrendered life that can reveal God. It is a surrendered life that can manifest the glory of Jesus. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know You, Lord. I want to know You more. I surrender. Oh yeah. I surrender. I want to know You, Lord. I want to know. I want you to let it go before me. Let it go in this presence. I wanna know You more.
Yes, Lord. My life is not my own. To You I belong. I give myself. I give myself. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Hallelujah. This is the reason why retreats are very, very necessary. To put a check on the enemy within. Some of us may not be susceptible to immorality, but for many of us, the sins of the heart. If this message does not touch you, I don't know what else will touch you. Did David know that he was going to offend God to that gravity? Absolutely no. But you see, when you come in the presence of God, you need to learn to surrender these things to Him. It is only by His strength that we can exercise victory over the flesh, over self. Many of us call Jesus our Lord, but self in actuality is our Lord. The reason why many people will not even walk in a church, in the house of God, self. The reason why some people only come when apostle is preaching, self. When you check our actions, you wonder whether we are loyal to Jesus or we are just loyal for people to see us. And let me tell you something, my brothers, my sisters. If you don't allow God deal with that thing, it is when you have risen to a height that the devil will use that to rope you down. But it will not be so for us. Lift your hands. Father, tonight we surrender to you. God is doing a great work here right now. God is doing a powerful work. Please lift your hands and just close your eyes. The fire of God is working in the hearts of people right now, separating them from the sin that doth easily beset. God is dealing with the flesh for many of us right now. God is dethroning self, dethroning pride, dethroning your ego. Father, do this work in our hearts and in our lives as we surrender to you today. And by your strength and by your grace, help us to live in victory, constant victory over self, over the flesh. Help us not to yield to the nature of the flesh. Help us not to obey the lusts of the flesh. Help us to yield constantly to you all the days of our lives. Thank you for tonight. Wave your hands and give him praise. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Permit me to make an altar call before we go. Please all standing everywhere, except those who are, you know, heavily under the anointing or just... But everybody, please stand. Do you know that sometimes when altar calls are made in church, it is self that stops people from responding. Self makes them conscious of their reputation. Self tells them you are a boss to somebody here in the office. If you come out, the person will mock you tomorrow. It's self. It's self that makes people feel, oh, he's not talking to me. Self-righteousness, that's what we call it. But tonight, I'm going to make an altar call. Wherever you are, under the sound of my voice, if you know that truly Jesus is not Lord and Savior over your life, you can't call what you have a relationship with God. You know that it's not like you and God are in good terms. You go to church, you are around God's people, but there is nothing in your life that shows that you have a working relationship with God. And you are listening to me right now. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. The only thing we have control of is the present. We don't know whether tomorrow will be no more. We don't know whether Jesus will come tomorrow. This will be an opportunity for somebody to make their ways right with Jesus. And I'm also giving that altar call to somebody there. You were born again, but things have not been so good around you. A lot of things have happened and you feel like you need to rededicate to God afresh. You need to surrender your life afresh. I'm going to count to 10. Wherever you are, I'd like you to run and meet me at the front right now. Don't wait to be the last. Jesus is the one calling you. As a sign of surrender, run to him right now and be saved. 1, 2. Don't wait to be the last. Don't wait for another person to come. You are running to Jesus. You are saying yes to him. Apostle, I want to be free from this addiction. Join them. 3, 4, 5. Keep clapping. I see souls coming to Jesus. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. Hallelujah. Please stretch your hands towards this one. Anybody in the congregation that knows you need to join them, please join them quickly. Apostle, I'm struggling with an addiction. Join them now. Stretch your hands towards these ones and pray for them. Those of you in front, what a wonderful decision you have made. You have looked beyond yourself to the saving arms of Jesus. I'd like you to put your right hand on your chest and repeat these words after me. Mean it from the depths of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Forgive me. Wash me. I surrender my heart to you. And I receive your life. Even today. Thank you for saving me. And I boldly declare that I am yours. Now and forever. In Jesus' name. Can you lift that right hand to heaven? With your eyes closed, I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these ones. According to the confession of their mouth and the faith that is in their heart, we declare that their sins are forgiven. I ask that your spirit will come and live in them from today. Do a quick work of sanctification in their hearts and in their life. And from today, let them exercise and walk in victory over self and the flesh. I see the Lord touching them, these people in front. I see the Lord touching them. I see the Lord walking on the heart of some of them right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, addictions are broken from today. In the name of Jesus, the power of Satan is broken off your life. From today, you will live a brand new life above sin. In obedience to the will of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please put down your hands. Thank you for the wonderful decision you have made. Regardless of age, your life is brand new. God wants to walk with you. He wants to help you live that victorious life. And he wants you to serve him all the days of your life. Please, all of you, look at me. Just turn to your left. There's a lady waving her hand there. She will lead you to our counselors. They want to have a word with you before you go and then pray for you. The next thing you are going to do for me, if you have been blessed tonight, I'd like you to come back next Sunday. It is by the word and the spirit of God that God is transforming you. When you stay in an atmosphere like this on a weekly basis, you can be rest assured that you will be free from sin and you will walk in complete victory in holiness and righteousness unto God. So I want you to return back next Sunday. Come with someone. Let them experience what you have experienced. God bless you in Jesus' name.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.